A Fox News Strategy Research statewide telephone survey finds in the Republican race, Roy Moore leads with 35% of the vote, Luther Strange with 29%, and Mo Brooks has 19%. The race for the Democrats, 40% for Robert Kennedy Jr., 30% for Doug Jones. The Senate Majority Leader is continuing to get some pressure from President Trump. Here's Sharon Reed.
He tweeted, quote, "Can you believe Mitch McConnell, who has screamed repeal and replace for 7 years, couldn't get it done? McConnell has said Trump had excessive expectations."
Still a buzz in the air around Washington, D.C., a day after an unarmed Russian spy plane was confirmed to have flown over the nation's capital. That low-altitude flight yesterday is permitted under the Treaty of Open Skies. You can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Allergy congestion. Cut grass, cat on the sofa, dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Walmart does say it's, in its words, horrible that one of its stores has a sign up that makes it look like it's selling guns as back-to-school items. The photo, which went viral, does not indicate exactly what location it is, but it shows a case full of guns under the sign that reads, "Own the school year like a hero." A Walmart corporate spokesman says the company's working to identify which store put up the display and to be sure it's been taken down and that those responsible are disciplined. There are several preseason NFL games on the schedule tonight, and also making some NFL news, an apparent problem between the LA Chargers and Rams. Doesn't look like they like each other much, as we hear from Jason Campadonia.
During a practice with both teams yesterday in Irvine, a couple of players started shoving each other. Then another player joined in, and another. The scuffle quickly turned into a bench-clearing brawl with several players getting tossed around. Both teams will meet in the preseason, but don't see each other during the regular season. None of the players involved were badly hurt, but it's unclear if any of the players involved will face any disciplinary action from the league.
Still more NFL news. It's finally hiring full-time officials as the NFL Referees Association says the league plans to hire 24 full-time refs for the 2017 season. Full-time officials will be hired at each of the 7 officiating positions. Refs have always worked as contractors in the past. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the financial metrics every business owner needs to know, but most don't. Why positive reviews are essential to small businesses. I'll have 3 ways to value the sale of your business and why incentives are rising for prospective employees. And also have the 6 steps you can use to squeeze success out of failure. It's Thursday, August 10th, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, it's time to check the local weather. It's currently 81 degrees at 12:06, and today it'll be sunny with increasing clouds. Later this afternoon, a high of 85 and a low of 61. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy and humid with a couple of afternoon showers, a high of 82 degrees and a low of 65. Hi, Richard. And for Saturday, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with humid conditions and a couple of showers or thunderstorms in the area with a high of 79 and a low of 66. For Sunday, it'll be partly sunny and humid with a high of 86 and a low of 63. And a current check of our financial market shows that everything is pretty much down right now. The Dow is down 123.75 to 21,924.95. The Nasdaq down 94.96 to 6257.37. S&P 500 down 23.30 to 2450.72. Oil is down 31 cents to 49.25 per barrel. And gold down $11.20 to $1,290.50 an ounce. Like to say hello to Frank and Gary for watching on Facebook. Facebook viewers, you are now up to date. It's time to listen to the rest of the program on HuntertonChamberRadio.com or on WHCR-DB. All right, all right, all right. It's time to get going. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. So glad you could join me on this Thursday afternoon, a beautiful Thursday afternoon here in Hunterdon County. Every day in Hunterdon County is a beautiful day, so I don't know why we're complaining. But so glad you could join us. A lot to get to today on the program, so I want to jump right into it. And first, I want to give a shout-out to everybody at the Somerset County 4-H Fair. Sorry I can't be there this year, but had a great time and a lot of great memories with running the Somerset County 4-H Go-Kart Club. So hopefully the track is dry and the kids are able to get out there and compete and show what they can do behind the wheel of their go-karts. And everybody else, the horse tent, the goat tent, the dog shows, the train masters, everybody. I hope they're having a great time out there at the Somerset County 4-H Fair. And you can have a great time there, too. It's on Milltown Road in Bridgewater. So if you get a chance, stop by. This time of the program, we always remind everybody that if you're watching or listening, you're probably near a computer or a phone. Open up a new browser, go to your Facebook page, and try to search Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, and then like and follow that page. This way you'll get updates on what's coming up in future shows, as well as what we'll be talking about this week. And then if there's something breaking that's affecting business, we'll also be telling you there as well. I am the luckiest man in the world. Now, of course, Lou Gehrig said that many years ago, but I am the luckiest man in the world. And the reason for that is last night there was no winner in the Powerball lottery. Last night I also didn't buy a ticket for the Powerball lottery. So the jackpot now is $356 million for Powerball, and that'll be picked, I think, on Saturday. And Mega Millions is up to $382 million. That'll be picked on Friday night. So don't push your luck. Don't drive past that convenience store. Make sure that you're getting your tickets.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these sidewalks of Broadway, where hustle's the name of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain.
Well, of course, we're playing Glen Campbell right now and his hit Rhinestone Cowboy, and we lost Glen Campbell this week at the age of 81. He passed away after suffering the debilitating effects of Alzheimer's disease for the past 5 years.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Now, many of you that grew up in the 70s will recall the Glenn Campbell Show and a little variety show that he had featuring his music. But a lot of us grew up on the music of Glenn Campbell, and sad to see him go. And if you ever get a chance, there is a great documentary on Netflix about Glenn Campbell, showing both the time that he was diagnosed and also following him for the next couple of years through the disease, and how it affected him and how it affected his family. He was still able to tour. He did one last tour, about 150 dates. And the funny thing about this disease, and I lived through it with my father, was it kind of transports you back in time. And for my father, it was his days in the Navy when he would recall with perfect clarity things that happened there. But and for Glenn Campbell, he was able to retain his music. So he was able to get up on stage. And then once he heard the first few bars of a song, he'd just break into playing the guitar and be able to sing. But again, a very poignant video. I think it's called I'll Be Me. I watched it a few years ago. Have a box of tissues nearby. If you don't know anybody with Alzheimer's, this will give you a good glimpse into that disease and what both the individual dealing with it go through and what the families that have to deal with this go through as well. Business quote of the week. We do this segment every week on the program, so we'll bring that in right now. The business quote of the week states, every day that we spend not improving our products was a wasted day. And that's brought to you by Joel Spolsky, who was the co-founder of Stack Overflow. It's a great, great quote because, and I end the show every day with a quote from my father that says, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. You've heard that now for close to 6 years. And I think that's kind of what Joel's getting at. If we're not trying to get better, we're just not trying. So hopefully that's something that you look at in your business. You know, every aspect of the business, customer service, sales, the product itself, can that be improved? Is this something that you work on consciously, or is it just something like we just keep doing the status quo because that's all we've ever done? You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the financial metrics that every business owner needs to know but probably doesn't. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, Big C here doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com and on WHCR-DB. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and glad to be back for another episode of Taking Care of Business. Coming up, we're getting real close to celebrating 6 years on the air, the only Chamber of Commerce with a radio station. And if you listen to the programming, we've got something for everybody. We've got accountants, we've got lawyers, we've got home improvement people. We've got lawyers talking about sports, you know, so we got everything. So make sure you check us out at HunterdonChamberRadio.com and take a look at some of the programs, some of the guests. You may know some of the hosts as well. Financial metrics is a question that comes up periodically when I talk to people. And when you ask them to run a profit and loss statement, when you ask them how's their cash flow or things like that, there's a lot of people who just don't know what I'm talking about. They'll know yesterday I sold $1,000 worth of product, but they won't know what the profit margin is on that. And that's something that you need to know. Now, I don't think I'm alone when I suggest that, like many small business owners, I didn't jump into business ownership because I was really excited about small business bookkeeping or accounting. I knew it was a part of the deal, but it wasn't the part of the business ownership that I was most excited about. Now, despite the fact that one of my best friends is a CPA and was regularly offering me accounting advice, some of which I actually listened to, like many business owners I know, I thought I had a better handle on the financial metrics within my business than I really did. Looking back, I recognize that with a better understanding of what I didn't know at the time, my life would have probably been a whole lot easier. So understanding your business's financial metrics and what those numbers are telling you is critical to running a successful business. Knowing whether or not your business is profitable, or waking up one day to find out you're on the slow march to insolvency and going out of business. There's a handful of metrics that I think every business owner should be familiar with. And I'm going to preface my suggestions with the following disclaimer. First, I'm not an accountant, and although I believe from my personal experience that these are some of the more important metrics every business owner needs to be familiar with, you should speak to an accountant or a trusted financial advisor to see if there are any other metrics that he or she feels are more important for your business and get their perspective on what these metrics mean and how you should measure them. I also want to talk to you for a second about the television show The Profit. Now, this is a show that I recommend people watch if you're in business all the time. It stars Marcus Lemonis. It's on CNBC Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. And it's amazing to me how many times Marcus will ask for a P&L report. He'll ask about profit margins, and then he just gets blank stares. And I've been watching this program now for about 3 years, close to 60 different episodes, and it's always the same thing. I think in the 3 years, I've seen one business owner this year who knew what he was doing. And he had a big business. It was about a $6 million coffee business. But he was the first one who actually could answer every question back and forth and back it up with the exhibits. Now, in addition to being tools to help you successfully run your business, I once spoke with a lender who said, if I can tell more about a business by looking at the financial numbers than the business owner, I'm not likely to offer them a loan. In that sense, having a thorough understanding of what your financial reports are telling you also instills confidence in those that work for you, those that offer you credit, or anyone who otherwise helps you to succeed. Now, here are the five small business financial metrics you need to understand, and most of these are pretty straightforward and logical, but hopefully I'll be able to add something based upon my experience as a small business owner and shed some light on how I monitored these metrics in my business. Now, income obviously would be the first. Without business income or revenue, nothing else happens. Nobody gets paid, products don't get delivered, supplies can't be purchased. Without revenue, businesses can't sustain operations. In my opinion, this is one of the first metrics you need to be intimate with. I track this number daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annually, and then I compare it to how the business was doing in the same time frame last year, last month, last week, etc. This is an important number for a lender, for example, because one of the things they are trying to evaluate when they review your loan application is whether or not you have the income to make periodic payments associated with a potential small business loan, because without revenue, your business's ability to service debt will be considered questionable. Fortunately, this is a fairly easy number to capture. What are your total sales? That's it. That's your income. The second is expenses. Now, there are several ways to categorize your expenses, and your accountant can help you with those. But ultimately, you want to know what it costs to do business and whether or not your business income is sufficient to meet those business expenses. It's the difference between your income and expenses that determine if your business is profitable or not. After all, profit should be one of the primary goals of going into business for yourself. Now, granted, there are some businesses today, particularly in the tech space, that forgo profits in the beginning and focus more on growth. To do this, they rely on investor income rather than profits. To fuel the fire of growth before they become profitable, that's how companies like Facebook, Twitter, and Uber became household names. These investors forecasted that their returns would be exponentially greater by investing today for a potential payout down the road. If your small business has the potential to grow and scale profits with the infusion of capital, you're probably considering this. But most small business owners need to focus on selling their goods or services far more than it costs to produce them so they can generate profits. The third is cash flow. We've talked about this a lot on the program here. Inadequate cash flow has rung the death knell for many small businesses over the years. If you've ever heard the term cash flow is king, this is what it's talking about. It's not enough to simply have money in your business checking account at the end of the month. You need to understand the cash flow metric. You calculate this metric by dividing your assets and your liabilities. This is an important enough metric that if you're unsure about how to define assets and liabilities, I encourage you to speak with your accountant to make sure you're clear on the definitions. The ideal goal for this metric is 2-to-1, or twice as many assets as liabilities. Understandably, this 2-to-1 goal is challenging for many businesses to maintain, but anything below 1-to-1 should be a big red flag that your business doesn't have adequate cash flow to maintain operations. This can be an important metric, for example. It should be an important part of consideration when looking at a potential small business loan, because the loan payment becomes a liability. If those payments pull your metric down below 1-to-1, it could indicate that you're borrowing your way into trouble. Having a handle on your cash flow metric is critical to small business success. The fourth is the accounts receivable aging, and this is an important one that you can't afford to ignore. How long does it take your customers to actually pay you, especially if you're offering them credit terms? Do they pay their invoices on time? If you offer 30-day terms, do they consistently pay in 30 days, or do they sometimes go to 45 or 60 or 90? Now, in my business, after 45 days, I started to lose whatever profit was in an invoice, and after 65 days, my profits were entirely gone because of the impact that it had on my cash flow. What's more, for every day over 40 days an invoice was late, it became more difficult to collect. These time frames might not apply to your particular business or industry, but it's worth investigating your situation to determine these numbers for your business. Needless to say, I work very hard to ensure that my customers stay current and even encourage them to pay early by offering them a discount on their invoice if they paid within 10 days. Those that took advantage of the discount helped my business by giving me 20 extra days to use that income to increase profits. In other words, the discount was worth it to me. And finally, the accounts payable aging. Another number you should know is the average number of days it takes for you to meet your business's financial obligations. If you're able to effectively manage your accounts receivable, your cash flow, and your income, then you should be able to keep your accounts payable current and maybe even take advantage of the prompt payment terms your suppliers likely will offer you. Now, I know of several small business owners who save enough money by paying their suppliers early and taking the offered discount that they take a big chunk out of payroll every month with the savings. What's more, if you're looking at your income and expenses, the ability to take that discount may even positively impact your profitability. As a business looking for borrowed capital, the single most important thing you can do to positively impact your business credit rating and increase the options you'll have when it comes time to borrow is staying current with your business credit obligations. That includes utility bills, business's lease, your credit relationship with vendors, and any other business credit obligation you may have. In my opinion, it's important to have a handle on these five metrics to run a successful business. You may even want to dive a little deeper into one or two of them. For example, you can categorize income streams or identify particular classes of expenses that might make it easier to understand and control. Your accountant or CPA can help you identify the metrics that will give you the most insight into your business. And don't be afraid to ask him or her questions if there are terms or formula that you're unfamiliar with. Your accountant should be able to explain them in terms you'll understand. One of the big mistakes I made as a business owner was treating my accountant as a transactional relationship rather than in a consultative way. That had the potential of helping me more easily grow my business. In hindsight, I wish I had leveraged that relationship more to my advantage up front. So hopefully there are some tips in there on what you need to be looking at in your business that can hopefully help you grow your business and keep it solvent as much as possible. Let's talk about reviews for a minute. I'm getting a lot of emails from businesses where they might have gotten a negative review and they want to know what to do about it. So why are positive reviews essential to your small business? Well, first of all, when making purchasing decisions these days, customers trust online reviews as much as personal recommendations. So what are people saying about your business? Word of mouth marketing may seem like an outdated term, but its digital counterpart, online reviews, is just as important in modern marketing. In fact, 84% of people asked in Bright Local's 2016 local consumer review survey said they trust online reviews as much as a personal recommendation. Every day, customers and potential customers are inundated with marketing messages from email, social media, and more. In a culture where business constantly tries to tell customers what to think and feel, it's not surprising that they turn to other customers for feedback that they can trust or feel they can trust. Positive reviews are important to small business growth because they carry more weight with potential customers than company marketing messages, according to Karen Swim, who's the founder of Words for Hire. People see reviews as an unbiased opinion. We have long known that word-of-mouth marketing is powerful, and that concept has only been amplified by the web, where it can be shared wider and further, she said. And while positive reviews are essential to drive customers to your small business, it's just as important to ensure your customer or your company has a strategy in place to appropriately respond to bad reviews. According to a recent study conducted by Vistaprint Digital, 50% of small business consumers said that bad online reviews were the thing most likely to prevent them from choosing a particular business, explained Sarah Matista, who's the marketing communications manager for Vistaprint Digital. So again, we've talked at length on the program about asking your customers to review your business. Again, if you get a negative one, deal with it professionally and make sure that you get it resolved to both parties' satisfaction. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We'll be right back after this short break.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Some U.S. government personnel who were working at our embassy in Havana, Cuba, on official duty, so they were there working on behalf of the U.S. embassy there. They've reported some incidents which have caused a variety of physical symptoms.
State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauer telling reporters about a possible attack on U.S. diplomats in Cuba. The State Department says they believe an acoustic attack was used on embassy employees. It was so strong, several had to be brought back to the U.S. for treatment. One employee reportedly has permanent hearing loss from the attack. State Department officials say the Cuban government claims to have no knowledge of the assault, and they're allowing FBI agents into the country to investigate. The nation's unemployment lines are a little bit longer. The Labor Department reporting this morning that 244,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week, 3,000 more than the previous week. USA Radio News.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. I would like to invite you to be a stockholder in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share.
When I heard about Punch TV Studios, at first, I didn't know what to think. Then everyone kept talking about it. I went to the website, and now I'm a Punch TV Studios investor.
This is a tremendous opportunity for you and your family.
My children are my everything. I have to make sure that they are taken care of, not just for today, a future for my children.
Join me, and together we can build a multi-billion-dollar media company. Be part owner in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Don't wait. This IPO stock offering is counting down to a close. Call now, 310-419-5914, or visit our website, punchtvstudios.com.
Buy your stock. Buy your stock. Buy your stock. Buy your Punch TV Studios stock.
We think it's a great investment. Buy your Punch TV stock today.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy in Flemington. So glad you could join me this afternoon.
And been getting a lot of conversation. Now that the economy is getting better, it seems like a lot of people are looking to get out while the getting is good. We know that it's a seller's market in the real estate industry, but is it also a seller's market in the business industry? I've had a couple of business owners telling me, look, I'm in my 50s, I'm in my 60s, it's time to get out. This seems like a good time. What do you think? That decision is strictly personal. If you don't want to be in business anymore and you feel that selling is right for you at this time, then by all means, sell. But there's certain things that you have to consider when you sell a business, and number one of which has to be, how are you going to value the business? I talked to one woman who was looking to sell her business, and she wanted $275,000 for the business. Yet she only had $225,000 in sales last year. And I told her, I said, you have to step back for a minute. Take yourself out of the business. Take yourself out of how many years you've worked here, the blood, the sweat, the tears that have gone into it, and look at it from a realistic standpoint. Why would somebody pay you $275,000 for a business that only did $225,000 last year? Doesn't make sense. I said, but when you take that emotional quotient out of it and you just look at the value of the business, the size of the accounts that you might currently have, the equipment that you might have, things like that, then it gets a little, the number comes way down. So when deciding whether to sell your business, you probably have one question: how much money will I get? And there are different ways to find the answer. The value of your business is constantly changing, almost daily. Some industries have standard valuing practices, such as selling for 3x estimated book value or a multiple of cash flow, but transaction specialists use several standard ways to value your business. The first is called the income approach, and this is a standard valuation. The buyer of a business looks at the transaction as an investment, so they focus on cash generating and growth metrics. Now, a pro tip here would be to ask your analyst to focus on the discounted cash flow analysis approach. This approach factors in the future value of the cash generating potential of your business and not the standard 5 to 10 year outlook. The second approach is called the market approach. And under this approach, analysts will compare your business to other like businesses, similar to real estate when they do what they call comparable sales. They make comparisons to public companies or similar to residential real estate. They look at recent transactions in your area. A pro tip here would be obtaining a valuation on a routine basis that will help you take immediate advantage of changing market opportunities. And the third is what is known as the asset approach. You want to use this approach as the last measure. Analysts will use this method to determine the value of your company's assets. No potential value adds or growth will be reflected in the sales price using this method. A pro tip here would be know your definition of financial independence. When the sale of your business meets your definition of financial independence, don't hesitate to sell. Knowing how transaction specialists calculate the value of your business allows you to focus on the key metrics that will ultimately impact the sales price of your business. Now, going back to the woman that I talked about earlier, $225,000 in sales, wanted $275,000, eventually sold the business for just $75,000. And sometimes it just may not be the right time to sell. So make sure that you're paying attention to that, and leave the emotional quotient at home, because it has no place in these negotiations. All right. Now, in one of the earlier breaks, and I think it's coming up a little later, you heard Jim Lynch talk about, from Regional Personnel, talking about finding the right candidate for your business to open positions. Well, that's getting harder and harder. As the unemployment rate is going down, and it's currently at around 4.3%, the available talent pool just isn't there for skilled positions. So what's happening is employers are having to provide incentives to people to have them join their company. And the incentives are rising as the war for coworkers continues to plague both Main Street and large industry. So the first ever CNBC SurveyMonkey Small Business Survey in June found that jobs in the economy was the number one issue for 33% of the 2,030 businesses that were surveyed. Now, according to the National Federation of Independent Business, in its monthly read on Main Street sentiment, finding skilled labor ranked a top three issue in June behind government regulations and taxes. Now, to attract and retain employees, some small businesses are offering incentives such as a health care stipend, paid time off, and time flexibility. For Denise Burgess, the biggest challenge in running her construction management firm isn't worrying about tax reform or what's ahead with the Affordable Care Act. It's simply finding the right people to do the job. Burgess is president and CEO of the Denver-based Burgess Services, a second-generation family-owned business that has been around for 42 years working on commercial projects. Typically, Burgess employs between 12 and 15 workers. But with subcontractors, the company employs upwards of 100 workers at one time, depending on the size of the project. That's when things get complicated. With the recession having forced so many skilled laborers to leave the industry, finding the right people for the job has become a major challenge, according to the first ever CNBC SurveyMonkey Small Business Survey. Employees are younger, they're not as well trained, and they're not as seasoned, Burgess said. Construction is also a career path that's not as glamorous as Silicon Valley software might be. It's not Facebook. It's something where you're going to work hard, but you'll also get paid really well. It's a hard sell, but it's not an impossible sell. So across the country, finding skilled labor is becoming an increasingly large concern for small businesses like Burgess's, and even more of a challenge in cities like Denver, where the labor market is tight, with unemployment at 4.3%. According to the National Federation of Independent Business, in its monthly read, finding skilled labor ranked as one of the top three issues behind government regulations and taxes. The small business advocacy groups, like the nonpartisan National Small Business Association, also see skilled labor becoming a more frequent concern among its membership. A recent survey from a group found that 76% of small businesses are doing on-site training for specific positions, a positive economic signal that small companies are looking to hire and potentially expand. Worker shortages are moving up on our list of priorities, said Todd McCracken, who's the president of the NSBA. It's one of the top concerns among small companies right now, as it was before the financial crisis. And it's really good news that companies are beginning to hire, but it's becoming a real struggle for them. Now, most small Main Street firms don't have the ability to do on-the-job training or run their own training programs in the same way that large employers do. They have to take what's available in the marketplace, for the most part. Main Street firms simply don't have the networks or ability to recruit in the same way that large competitors do. McCracken added that the NSBA hears the skills gap is most prevalent in fields like STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. They also don't have the ability to do the on-the-job training or run their own training programs in the same way that large employers do. The onboarding time is much shorter. They have to take what's available in the marketplace. And how do you hang on to top talent? Well, for Tony Song, who's the owner of Evergreen Bicycle Outfitters in the Denver suburb of Evergreen, Colorado, it's less about hiring who's available in the marketplace and more about hanging on to the skilled labor that he already has. Song said his two head mechanics in the repair shop have combined 50 years of experience, something he wouldn't easily be able to replace. In total, he has seven workers, depending on whether the shop is in peak season or not. As it stands today, with the labor market being what it is and how competitive it is, it would be very difficult for us to find somebody with that level of experience. To keep workers happy, Song said he offers a health care stipend, paid time off, and flexibility depending on the season, recognizing that liking your job means more than just making good money. To attract skilled employees, Tony Song says that he also tries to sweeten the pot wherever possible, including flex time, comp time, etc. Burgess Services also negotiates family leave with employees, adding that the company has more flexibility with workers because it is a smaller business. They also offer health care benefits and 401k plans, as well as paid vacation for full-time employees. But her large construction competitors are able to offer things like signing bonuses, which may be more attractive to prospective employees. They're offering a signing bonus of up to $2,000, which a small business simply can't compete with. And legalized marijuana, if you add that into the mix in Colorado and finding workers in Burgess's line of business, where safety is so paramount, can even be harder. We have people fail drug tests because marijuana is legal, but we have no tolerance when it comes to safety. We do random drug tests, and if they fail, they're off-site, Burgess said. People have been in the business a long time, understand that, but for people coming in, it's a challenge. So the question here becomes, what do you do? What perks can you offer new employees that are going to make them want to join your firm? And then do you have to carry that across the board with your current employees? So there's a lot to figure out as to whether or not you know, your company can compete, especially when they talk about larger firms. Signing bonuses, cars, you name it. You name the perk, and people will leave their current company for something like that. All right. Here was a shocking story that I read the other day, and that is one-third of small business owners don't have a retirement savings plan. That's 33% of everybody on Main Street USA doesn't have a retirement savings plan. Now, new research reveals which types of retirement plans are most popular for small business owners. Retirement is top of mind for professionals everywhere, but that doesn't always mean that they have a savings plan in place to make it happen. To determine how small business owners are planning for retirement, 1,960 small business owners were surveyed and found that more than one-third don't have a retirement savings plan, while another 36% plan on seeking out other job opportunities upon retirement from their business. The research also explores how small business owners' retirement savings habits differ from consumers, their reasons for not having a savings plan, and which plans are the most popular among small business owners. Business owners were asked, at what age do you hope to retire? Before the age of 40, 10%, between 40 and 55, 19%, between 56 and 65, 29%, after age 65, 42%. So once you step down from your business and into retirement, do you plan to seek out other job opportunities? 64% said no, 36% said yes. They asked if you had a succession plan for your business, 34% said no, 66% said yes. They asked if you currently have a retirement savings plan, 34% said no, 66% said yes. If yes, which of the following retirement saving plans do you have? Self-employed 401k, 43%, traditional IRA, 31%, Roth IRA, 29%, a simple IRA 13, an SEP IRA 10, and other investment vehicles 26%. If no, why don't you have a retirement savings plan? 37% said they don't make enough profit to save for retirement. 21% said they use their previous retirement savings to invest into their business. They plan to sell their business to fund their retirement was 18%. 12% said they don't see the need to save for retirement. And 12% said they have no plans to retire. And finally, the consumers, at what age do you hope to retire? This is the consumer, the buying public. Before age 40, 9%, between 40 and 55, 11%, between 55 and 65, 35%, and after age 65, 45%. So very scary when you consider today's economy and how much things cost to live. How are you going to make it for the next 20 or 30 years with no investments or no retirement account? Going to be interesting to see how people do that. And if you're on either side of that fence, if you've never invested in a retirement account, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com with your comments on why. And if you have, do you feel that you have enough to make it for the next 20 or 30 years? Or will you in turn have to also go back to work at some point? You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com and WHCRDB. So glad you could join us. And when we talk about WHCRDB, that's for the digital broadcast players that are being installed in so many cars these days. So if you get a radio like that in a new car, make sure that you look up Hunterdon Chamber Radio or WHCRDB, plug us in. And when you're out driving around town, make sure you listen to some of the programming here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. .com. So glad you could join us. I want to talk to you for a minute. I have said repeatedly that sometimes you need to fail in order to succeed. And people don't always get that. And the funny thing is, like, what I tell people is that when you fail at something, you try, you invent a product and it doesn't work, it doesn't sell, go back to the drawing board and try again and try to figure out what didn't work. If there's something in the negotiations that you've tried and it doesn't work, or you didn't get a satisfactory result, analyze exactly what you did. I always tell people, take yourself out of that chair, go up 10 feet in the air, and look down on everything that you did in the process. Did you miss anything? So there are 6 steps that you can take to squeeze success out of a failure. Now, when your thoughts, products, innovations goes up in smoke, a review can help salvage some success. So when anything you try fails, what do? Do you try to sweep it under the rug and never speak of it again, as most people do? Or do you try to learn from the experience so you can do better next time? So here are the 6 ways that you can help cull success from the seeds of failure. Now, the first is track your failures. Now, some failures are obvious to everyone. The new product that was a spectacular bomb, the new system you implemented that created chaos, other ideas die with a bang. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. The new product you introduced was just kind of, eh. The new system that you implemented wasn't that much better than the old one, so your staff quietly stopped using it and went back to the old way. Don't bury failures under the rug. Make a point to assess your innovations every quarter to 6 months and determine whether or not they've measured up. So you and your team need to be able to talk about which parts of the process led to the failure. Again, without pointing fingers, but looking for a solution. Now you have to go on to step 2, and that is assess what went wrong. Did a new product die because there was no demand? Was it marketed ineffectively? Was it priced too high or too low? Did a competitor beat you to market or copy you soon after launch? There are many reasons for failure, so sit down and assess which factors contributed to the fizzle. Number 3, be honest, but do it without blame. Now, this is the hardest part. It's human nature to get defensive when failures are pointed out. You and your team need to be able to talk about which parts of the process led to the failure without pointing fingers. At the same time, everyone needs to be open and honest about what happened. Did your marketing team have a great campaign for the new product plan but couldn't carry it out properly due to lack of time or money or something like that? Let them tell you that without you blowing your lid. Number 4, be willing to make adjustments. Figure out how to eliminate the problems that stymied the innovation last time. For example, if your team was too swamped to market it properly, maybe you can outsource, hire, or relieve them of some of the duties so that they can focus on the new product next time. Number 5, put the round peg in the square hole. Now, if the obvious fixes don't work, it's time to get creative. Would this product work for a completely different customer? men instead of women, B2B instead of B2C. Maybe it's not a good product, but could lead to an idea for a new service. And if you've been trying to sell it for rock-bottom prices, what would happen if you made it a luxury item instead? Failed innovations can spark new ideas if you think about them in a new fashion. And finally, and this is probably one of the most important, know when to let go. Many business owners throw good money after bad by trying to resuscitate a failure long after everyone else knows it's dead. If you've tried all the changes you can think of and the innovation still isn't working, it may be time to cut your losses and just move on. It's a shame that it didn't work, but in the same time, it would be more of a shame for you to continue chasing something that just isn't there. So hopefully that will help you as well. And finally today, our last story is email metrics. Now, I've been working with a lot of companies on email marketing, and one of the things that they talk about is simply, well, I want to market my business via email. And that's great. I'm glad they're taking that step. But you have to know what you're marketing and how to measure whether or not it's being successful. So when you engage in an email with an email subscriber over the long term, it's key, the key to your success is the digital marketing strategy. Is it working? You want to email regularly, but without irritating your customers, said Jonathan Lean, who's an email marketing manager for Mantha. Every business's subscriber list is different. The best way to find your sweet spot is to learn from what you've done already. And if you haven't been emailing, be prepared to track and learn. There are standard metrics for measuring the engagement, thereby gauging the success of any small marketing campaign your company launches. These analytics should already be available through your email service provider dashboard, including the open rate, the click-through rate, and the click-to-open rate. Now, the number of people on your subscriber list who open your company's email expressed as a percentage, calculate your open rate by dividing the number of emails open by the total number of emails sent in a given campaign. The click-through rate is for recipients who click through links in your email to visit the company website. Email marketing firm Constant Contact defines CTR as the percentage of click-throughs for a particular email based on the number of contacts who actually open the email. And the click-to-open rate, also known as the effective rate, measures how effective your email content is in driving your subscribers to click the links included within your messages to calculate the CTOR on an email message. Divide the number of unique clicks by unique opens and multiply by 100. The mean CTR for commercial emails sent by U.S. companies is 3%, and the mean CTOR is 5.08 or 11.8%. Now, according to SilverPop's Marketing Metrics Benchmark Study, this report is a useful reference as you set your company's email marketing goals. It includes benchmark CTR and compares by industry whether or not yours are being successful. The success measurement you'll benchmark against depends on the goal of a given email campaign that your business launches. The goal of your campaign will vary by the action you want the recipient to take. Do you want them to open and read your newsletter? Set a goal of increasing your open rate. Go after the goal by trying new subject lines to increase the opens. If you want them to follow you on Facebook, challenge yourself of setting a goal of X new followers and try different messages in your email to obtain them. In most cases, you want to know how effective your email campaign is. If you're looking for ESP, your email service providers, be sure to research their tracking tools and find which ones work best for you. Once you've mastered the analytics, you'll move on to the next challenge. How can you tweak your emails to achieve stronger campaign results? To improve open rates, be recognizable to your recipients by sending from an address that identifies your business. Write subject lines that will be useful or interesting to the people receiving your messages. Avoid too many trending keywords, excessive punctuation, and all caps if you want to avoid email spam filters. To improve the click-through rate, marketing consultancy Smart Insights published this comprehensive tip sheet for achieving better CTR. Strategies include giving email readers one simple call to action, but providing multiple links to do that. So these metrics are useful because they will help you improve your messaging and ideally convert your subscribers into loyal customers and clients. Make sure you're always measuring your email campaign success. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions, while the National League, it's the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers leading their divisions. Sad news in the baseball world this week, as former Philadelphia Phillies catcher Darren "Dutch" Dalton died on Sunday from brain cancer. He was 51 years old. And legendary player and manager Don Baylor died on Monday as well, known as a great player, also manager of the Chicago Cubs. Last week, Martin Truex Jr. won the I Love New York 355 at the Glen, which was held at Watkins Glen International Raceway. This weekend, the teams head into the Irish Hills of Michigan for the Pure Michigan 400 at Michigan International Speedway on Sunday at 3 p.m. Also in NASCAR news, it was announced earlier this week that Casey Kane will not be returning as the driver of the number 5 Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. He will be replaced by William Byron, who is currently in his first season in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And in the NFL training camps, they are continuing underway, as we heard in the news preview. And tonight and this weekend actually starts week one of the actual games in the preseason. Local teams include the Giants playing Pittsburgh tomorrow night. The Jets will play Tennessee on Saturday, and the Eagles will take on Green Bay tonight. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Taking Care of Business. A lot going on here in Flemington, so make sure you explore Flemington. Visit the Flemington Community Partnership's webpage at exploreflemington.com to see what you're missing, including the filling station, which will be tomorrow night at the old Highline Garage. And then on Saturday night, the filling station always moves over to Lone Eagle Brewing Company. So make sure you're taking a look at the calendar, what's happening in the borough. Also want to put a shout-out to any high school music groups, choruses, and things like that that would like to perform for some special concerts that we're going to be setting up in Flemington during the December holiday season on Thursday night. So if you're affiliated with any of the high school choruses, please give me a call at the shop, 908-782-1476, so we can get you more information on that. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when he was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
While some are calling on President Trump to tone down his rhetoric regarding North Korea, some are not bothered by it at all. Republican Representative Peter King of New York sits on the Homeland Security panel. The Republican says there is a precedent for Trump's tough talk of fire and fury.
I mean, President Eisenhower ended the fighting in Korea by specifically threatening to use nuclear weapons. So that would have been the U.S. making a preemptive use of nuclear weapons. So this isn't unusual or unprecedented for this type of talk, and it worked. It caused North Korea to back down.
King speaks on MSNBC as North Korea's military claims it's making actual plans for a missile attack on Guam. The Labor Department says 244,000 Americans filed for first-time jobless claims last week, 3,000 more than the previous week, and a little bit above predictions. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
Hey, Dad, ready for golf?
Hi, son. I'm not sure I'm going to make it today. My arthritis is acting up this morning.
Dad, have you tried Blue Emu?
Have I tried what?
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Works fast, penetrates deep, relieves pain in your achy muscles and joints.
But I don't want to smell like a medicine chest.
You won't. Blue Emu's non-greasy and odor-free.
In that case, let's play 36 today.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
There's less than a week of campaigning left before a special election primary in the state of Alabama to fill a U.S. Senate seat. A Fox News Strategy Research statewide telephone survey finds in the Republican race, Roy Moore leads with